mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count our chances.
So much stuff to get to this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we begin with Chew. Update on the packages. Where are we at?
Still there.
Still sitting there.
Still there. I feel a little guilty.
Really?
Well, what am I going to do with them?
You said you were going to open them.
I know, but chances are I don't need the crap. I got plenty of crap. Don't need any more crap.
Okay. So are you
I'll give it to the weekend. What is Amazon's protocol? Have they just dismissed it already? All right, we don't know where it is and then move on?
Probably, yeah. The people who haven't gotten their package yet have probably filed a grievance, and then Amazon has refunded their money, and then...
Really? They can't figure it out? Is there any way...
You could contact Amazon and say that the packages are at your house if you
My guess is they'll be like, keep them.
I'm surprised you don't want to take a zip around the lake. If you missed our show yesterday, there are three, count them, three packages that were left at Chewy's house that are not his. They are somebody else's on the lake, around the lake, on lake. But you are not real interested in bopping around the lake and dropping them
it's
off.
It's just, I mean, it's a big, well, me and my wife used to ride our bikes around it, and I think it is 14 miles.
Okay.
14 miles of lake drive.
What's interesting.
And you said when you came over the house for Ashton's little ashy bash, it took you forever because the addresses are so weird. I mean, I'm willing to give it 17 minutes.
When you get home, are you going to the lake house at all or no? You're going to the lake
house? Not till tomorrow.
Okay. When you get there, take a picture of the addresses for me. I'll Google map them and see how far they are from your house.
Okay.
To your point, if they're on the other side of the lake, then I'll be like, you know what, Chew? It's a lot of work. Don't worry about it. But if they're three doors down, shout out to the band. If they're three doors down,
yeah,
then maybe we have a conversation about, you know, loading them up and driving them over.
Okay. I don't think there's three doors because the names, I don't know the people, but I kind of know the names around the neighborhood.
Uh-huh. And you don't know the names.
But then you're going on the other side of the street, too. So times that by two, right? So you
have
14 miles of lake on two sides. That's really 28 miles.
Okay.
That sounds like a lot of work.
If, again, they are on the direct opposite side of the lake, right? This is like, you know, are you going to China or are you going to Iowa?
Part of me wants to build a little, like we said yesterday, little raft, like Castaway.
Push them out into the middle of the lake.
And then see where they wind up.
Yeah. Well, then they're not your problem anymore,
no,
are they?
No.
Speaking of problems, did anyone catch Alex Stroff? Man, this is the gift that just keeps on giving. Alex Stroff yesterday throwing out the first pitch at the Chinooks game, which was right down the street from me. I should have popped over, but I was running the kids around like the Uber that I am during the summer. Do we have enough evidence at this point, team, that Alex Stroff is not an athlete?
It's becoming embarrassing to the station, I think. Did you post the video, Joshy?
The video is on the ESPN Milwaukee Twitter account. I have three separate views here that I can make available to us to watch and all the people out there. It was, so we talked about this on Mr. Irrelevant. We do the show Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. He campaigned for this himself because I believe he started an argument on KBN that he believes he would throw a strike. I, and I think many other people, said, based on your past history, it seems extremely unlikely you will get even close. Now, not to pat myself on the back, my official prediction was he's going to sail it over the head of the catcher and almost miss the right-handed batter's box.
Are you serious? Were you that specific
about how
you thought the first pitch at the Chinooks game was going to go?
Yes, because this happens a lot for people who typically don't pitch on a mound, don't throw a baseball very often. And then I have the history of this guy can't even run an L shape athletically, so how's he going to throw a baseball? I mean, it's unbelievable. Do we want the first view? Are you ready?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is assaulting, actually.
No, it's not. Because it's not.
He is jogging out to the mound. Take a look over here on the YouTube stream, Chew. He's jogging out. He's leaving a little point. I assume that's to Ben Brust, who is catching for him, correct? And then Ben Brust is tall. He's taller than I am. He's not as tall as Chewy, but he's tall-ish, right? If you're over 6 foot, I think you're considered tall. He sails it over Ben Brust, outreached arm, right? Am I not articulating this accurately? Am I exaggerating for effect here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Josh?
No, it seems like the ball flew roughly 10 feet over Ben Brust's head. So we're talking, the ball had an apex of around 20 to 16 feet in the air. If you know anything about a strike zone, it's typically knees to the chest, to the nipples.
Would have been better if he bounced it. Like
way 50. Better. Because that happens. You hold on to the ball too long. You're trying to deliver a strike.
Well, because most people are throwing off a flat ground when they throw. So it does take a little bit of getting used to throwing off of the...
I want to show you another version, another angle.
If you're not on the YouTube stream right now, gang, get to the YouTube stream. We are showing Alex Strofe's attempt to throw out the first pitch at the Chinooks game last night.
Oh, boy.
Was that Maddie?
No, that is his girlfriend. Oh.
Still? Are you sure? Is it still his girlfriend this morning?
As far as I know, they did go home together and remain together, but I don't know past that.
Now, let me ask you this, because you know him best. Is he just that unathletic, or is he leaning into this?
So just so we're aware, that was my first gut reaction. I was like, oh, he saw how much traction his struggles with the combine got, not just here at ESPN Milwaukee, but statewide. Some could argue nationwide. I had people who work at ESPN who were like, what's with the dude who can't run the cone drill? So it got some traction. It had some legs. There was a part of me that wondered if he was playing it up, you know, knowing that, you know, what do we always talk about? A or F? A's or F's? And this was an F. So that was my first gut reaction, was like, oh, this guy, he's playing for the camera, man. He's going to be that guy who can't do the things. But Joshy, you don't think that's the case.
No, not at all. I think he's ended up in a spot where he has an undying belief that he's capable of doing these athletic feats. I think the bonus of it is the attention that he gets from performing so poorly. But I think he set out on all of these to try and impress people, to make himself look better. He, every time an athletic thing comes up, he has an undying belief that he's going to perform well. I think that same belief is the reason he's ended up where he is, and how he, at such a young age, has gotten the opportunities is, yeah, I can do this. He doesn't have an imposter syndrome. It doesn't happen. There's no, I shouldn't be here. It's always, yeah, of course I can do
this. So he's wildly and delusionally confident.
Yes.
Is what we're saying.
Well,
yes.
It's starting to affect the station because we're losing listeners. So I told him yesterday, as acting commissioner of the station, he is no longer allowed. It's a 1-year ban to touch any ball, any stick, any glove. He's not allowed to wear sneakers to work.
For 1 year.
I think that's fair.
I can't get enough of it. I want it to keep happening. There is no seemingly depth of how low we can go. There's a fair expectation. No one expects you to deliver a heater right over the middle, you know, perfect strike, but they expect vicinity.
Yeah, but this is like watching like America's Funniest Videos when they're popping a goiter on someone's back. You just don't want to see it anymore. Am I right?
It really offends you. He's
just delusional. Like, and I, you know, I get it. Kids just want to be involved. And I used to have them when I coached youth football and stuff like that. And if I had a kid like Alex, I'd say, you ever think of taking a band? Trombone, tuba.
So many options.
Yes. And that's where we're at.
I knew that it offended Chewy's sensibilities when we share stuff in the group text chain all the time. And occasionally Chewy will share some of his funny stories and we'll laugh about it and we'll weigh in. But for the most part, he does not react to our contributions, mm-hmm. right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair.
Totally fair.
It's a lot of work. Yesterday, when the Alex Strofe video was shared amongst us, amongst friends, Chewy immediately popped in, had a reaction, criticized it, and then started his own text chain with all of us and Alex Strofe and Ben Brust, basically making that declaration. That's how I knew this had gone to another level. That's how I knew you were really, really bothered by the way his unathleticism is affecting the reputation of the station.
Because know your limitations. When you guys are having an intellectual conversation, I'm smart enough most times to stay out of it. Right? I stay out.
You're saying subject matter expert as a former professional athlete here, this is the time where your opinions are needed. And I have a hard time arguing.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it too much. I enjoy the fact that there's someone out there who's so delusional about their skill set that they say, you know what? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to deliver a strike. The haters are all wrong.
What is a sport we would be, it would be safe for him to play? Okay. We wouldn't be embarrassed.
I love this. I love this. I think we should do this. I think we should invite Alex Strofe to my daughter's T-ball. My 5-year-old is playing T-ball. My 7-year-old is playing baseball, coach pitch, right? And they start practices now on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I think Alex Strofe should tag along. I think he should tag along to Layla and Kira's T-ball slash coach pitch practices, and we should just run him through the paces. They got stations, right?
I think he would strike out. I really do. I think, number one, he would hit the bottom of the tee.
Which
is a strike, and then he'd come over to the... I bet he would strike out.
I think you... So initially I worried about the health of the young 5 and 7-year-old children.
Yes.
And then I thought, what damage could he actually do? The floor is the expectation. So sure, he hits maybe a couple fast grounders at him. They could get out of the way.
Is croquet a sport?
Yeah.
Can we allow him to play croquet?
You want to give him a mallet? You want to give him a mallet?
I'm just thinking a sport he could play and not be a complete embarrassment.
Well, we know running's out.
Yes.
We know throwing is out.
Mm-hmm.
Have we eliminated all of the sports just with those two criteria?
I mean, he looks like he'd be pretty good at Twister. Because he's long and lanky.
Yeah.
He's gangly.
That's not a sport.
I'm trying to find a sport. I don't know what it is.
Originally, I really wanted to put him, take him to Pettit National, put him in some gear. But I don't know if we'd get releases for that. Because the... requisite amount of skill, like we're talking broken bones,
so
potentially.
We walk into the Pettit and they're like, no, right?
We've seen you.
His face is on the wall. Yes.
Your reputation precedes you.
You're an insurance liability.
800-990-3776. What sport do you feel comfortable throwing Alex Strofe into, thinking that there will not be any casualties? And by casualties, we mean Chewy's embarrassment, because that is right now where we are. Chewy is embarrassed to be associated with this station that also has Alex Strofe on the roster when he keeps going out there and performing like this. Look, we'll put the video on the YouTube stream again so people who are just catching up can see what we saw. It is also available on Twitter, on ESPN Milwaukee, on Alex Strofe's Twitter account. If you want to see what we saw and what has pushed Chewy to this point where he is forcing a boycott. He is saying you are not allowed to participate in sports unless it is under the direct supervision of ESPN Milwaukee colleagues.
There's one more video I want to show here, and this is from In the Stands. Now, behind Ben Brust, the mascot is there, and then there appears to be the bat dog, you know, that runs out and gets the bats. The dog is left searching for the ball. This is a golden retriever. That's their whole thing. They retrieve and watch where balls go, and the dog is left in disbelief.
All right, put it up on the video. I actually haven't seen that one yet either, so go ahead and share that one. I mean, it looks like a Rockin' Time, by the way.
Oh, my God.
And then he puts his hand up in the air like the character from The Breakfast Club as he's walking off the football field. Like, what are we doing, man?
Well, I told him if he files an appeal to my ruling, we are going to move him to the sister station, our sister station, The Truth, which has nothing to do with sports.
So he can't even talk about sports anymore.
How do you listen to the guy? I mean, I'd like to know his direction of, like, how did you come to the realization that you wanted to spend the rest of your life in sports radio?
Seems like a pretty direct path. I'm a bad athlete, have him on? So I want to talk. I'll get him to join us in the last segment of the show. I'll keep showing the videos and the breaks just so we can all be entertained in case people haven't seen it. But yeah, I mean, it seems like a direct path, doesn't it? You can't do the sports, so talk about it.
I agree. I agree. I stay away from spelling bees.
Right.
You know? And you really do know your limitations.
Yeah, yes, I do.
We got Jason Wilde coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There is a new list out of the top 10 coaches in the NFL. We will tell you where Matt LaFleur is on that list with Jason Wilde right after this. Stick around.
Ready? Hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Lots of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text line to the Alex Strofe first pitch, if that's what we're going to call it. Haven't gotten to any of it yet, but we'll get to some of your comments as the show rolls on. Now we get to Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Did you see the Alex Strofe first pitch?
In 50 Cent Strofe's first pitch, yeah.
50 Cent, well, more like, I don't know, 10, 9. It's got to be very low.
So maybe I'm misremembering. Like, it's Carl Lewis who sang the national anthem so poorly, right?
Yeah.
But I swear, like, 50 Cent, this is better than 50 Cent's first pitch. But I feel like it may have even been the Cubs. Josh, you fact-check me on this. I think 50 Cent has one of the worst first pitches in, like, first pitch history.
Mets.
And it was the Mets.
I just pulled up the video.
Yeah, it's bad. So. And it's not. And so, in fairness to Strofe, it could have been worse, right? It could have been like his three-cone drill.
But the problem is, again, it's the way he approaches the activities with all the confidence in the world that it is going to go well. It's one thing if you go in and go, I don't know how this is going to go. Well, you know, we're gonna see together type of thing. But he goes in genuinely believing that it is going to be exceptional. He told Ben Brust, who texted us on the private talk and text line, Ben Brust said, Strofe told me I may need to wear a mask in case it comes in too fast.
But Jason, is this, you just don't know your limitations? Because I'll tell you why. You know, long snapping is a skill, right, Jason?
No doubt.
It's not easy to do. So I had a little Strofe in me where I thought I could hold for PATs and field goals. And I tried out for emergency quarterback, and none of them went well. And there was a little bit of delusion on my part. I think with Strofe, it's just, as I used to tell some of my kids in Pee Wee football, you ever think a band? I think that this is the case.
Yeah, you used the word I was going to use. I mean, I think he's just, like, look, I love confidence, right? I don't love cockiness or overconfidence, but I want you to be confident. I want you to believe in yourself. I don't want you to be delusional. And I just, like, there's part of me that wants to know if he does this, and I'm just not in on the joke, because when I watch the three-cone drill, I mean, I still can't believe that's really him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought, okay, this has got to be a bit, right? And now, like, does he get up to the mound and say, all right, well, if I throw, like, a Ben Johnson splitter, like Ben Johnson did throwing out his first pitch. It's not as funny as if I sail it and almost kill Gil the mascot. So I want to believe that I'm just not, he's just so good at selling the joke that I don't realize that he's way better than this. But at some point, the preponderance of evidence tells us that he just stinks.
Yeah. Jason, could Luke Musgrave be the secret weapon on this offense this year?
Absolutely, he could. Yeah. Like, I talk a lot about how many players need to elevate and are facing pivotal seasons a lot. And I think he's one of, like, a dozen of them that I would put on the list. Like, let's not forget how excited everybody was about him. Like, I remember that 2023 training camp. And, like, one of the storylines, like, I don't can't remember if it was the NFL or somebody did how he was running at, like, 23 miles per hour or something. Like, he was their fastest player running in pads during practice. And he was going to be the guy that now Tucker Kraft has turned out to be. Now, all along, I think we had the opinion that while I may have compared Tucker to you, that Luke Musgrave was more the Keith Jackson, right? He wasn't the blocker that Tucker we felt could be and the all-around tight end that you were. But if you have Tucker Kraft who's capable of that, just let Luke Musgrave be Luke Musgrave. And if he can, I mean, he's not as bad as Marshawn Lloyd in terms of bad luck injury-wise, but he's in the conversation, right? Like a lacerated kidney against the Chargers that not only, you know, derailed his rookie season, but opened the door for Tucker Kraft to get more opportunities. Because it was in that same game that Tucker Kraft had that ridiculous hurdle on the sideline. And we were like, oh, maybe this kid from South Dakota State's got a little something that we haven't seen yet. But on top of that, then, is the ankle injury last year. So, yes, I think he is one of those players that has been, I don't want to say forgotten, because obviously if you can remember him, that's a good sign. But he is certainly someone who can really help them in his third year. That did not help him a whole lot last year.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Jason, Pro Football Focus put out a list of the top returning NFL head coaches entering 2025. And a little suspiciously, Matt LaFleur not on the list. Where should he rank amongst the returning NFL head coaches?
Yeah, I saw that too. And you know, we were having a not the same debate because this hadn't come out yet, but we were talking, Tausch and I were, about the NFC North head coaches and where LaFleur ranks there. And personally, because look, Ben Johnson, I made this comparison. Ben Johnson right now is Mike Holmgren 1992, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is the hot candidate, the offensive guru, who everyone wanted, and going back to last year, right? Because he turned down opportunities with other teams last year and spent another year in Detroit. He's Mike Holmgren. Now, is he going to go and have the kind of 7-year run in Chicago that Holmgren had in Green Bay? I don't know. So we can't put him ahead of LaFleur right now. Obviously, he hasn't even coached a game. I still am. And maybe Dan Campbell will bite my kneecap and tell me I'm wrong. But I still don't know, with two new coordinators, if Dan Campbell is as good as we have given him credit for, right? Because his first year, didn't he start like 1-7?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
And again, I was wrong about him. They've had a ton of success. I thought that the biting kneecaps, tough guy thing would have a shelf life with NFL players. And I was wrong. They've had a bunch of success, but I'd still rather have LaFleur. The only guy in the NFC North that I'd rather have than LaFleur is Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
I think Kevin O'Connell seems like he's got everything, right? He's got the connectivity with his players. He's got the really smart offensive concepts and play calling. Like, I really like Kevin O'Connell. Like, if I was covering the Vikings, I know I would really enjoy talking with him. So, and I'm pretty sure that Dan Campbell is on that list, right? So I would put LaFleur in the Dan Campbell spot, which I'm trying to picture it when I scrolled past it. Was he eighth?
Yeah, he was down there on the list. I'll pull it up again in front of me so I have it in front of me. But
that's
yes, he did make the list, but he was now near the bottom.
That's kind of where I'd put him. Yeah, I would put him, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in the second half of the top 10.
Jason, is Sean Clifford going to make this team?
Good question. Because, you know, obviously they did not feel uber confident in him last year that they went and acquired Malik Willis. And then Malik Willis, to his credit, played really, really good football for them. I do think that we maybe have overestimated. Speaking of Matt LaFleur, like Matt LaFleur put together game plans, which I think is the mark of a good coach, that allowed his backup quarterback to be successful, didn't ask him to do too much, but didn't ask him to just hand the ball off 100 times during those two games, right? I mean, the Tennessee game, he had to make some plays. The win over Jacksonville when he went into the second half, he made a hell of a throw to Jaden Reed. So I wouldn't want to see, and maybe I'm wrong about this too, like I was wrong about Dan Campbell, but I'm not convinced, you know, after essentially the equivalent of three games, right? Two starts and then a couple of halves, one against Jacksonville, one against the Bears in the finale. I'm not convinced that he'd be like a 10-game winner as a 17-game starter for somebody else. I could be wrong, and he could prove me wrong and shut me up on that. But there were people that seemed to think, you know, oh, after what he did last year, Packers should trade him for like a third-round pick to somebody who needs a starting quarterback. I'm not that, you know, head over heels for Malik Willis. I do like him, and I like what he's about. But, yeah, Sean Clifford is, like, they kept him as the third quarterback on the practice squad. But remember, they cut both him and the seventh-round pick, Michael Pratt, last year. And Pratt got picked up by the Buccaneers. He signed with their practice squad. I wonder how close that call was for them. And if Pratt said, no, I want to see if I can find something somewhere else. So, you know, I don't know if, and I always think of Jen when I pronounce his name because she gave us the phonetic assist of Taylor Elgersma. He feels like he's pretty far away, having just picked up football in the 10th grade in Canada. So I'm curious. You know, I would think that Sean Clifford would have to struggle to a pretty big degree to lose out to the Canadian import.
Well,
that's just my feeling.
The one detail that I think people kind of forget about is that in the past, with Tom Clements there, he could kind of get his hands on these guys, and you might expect some jumps in development and whatnot. Obviously, not saying Sean Mannion can't do that, but we all sort of held Tom Clements in pretty high regard when it comes to QB. So it'll be interesting to see how all that shakes out with that transition as well.
Yeah, and look, maybe Sean Mannion, especially for Love, is exactly like now it's time for a different type of quarterbacks coach. And maybe that's the case here. So maybe it's actually a good thing for Love. What it is for those other guys, I'm not sure. But that's a good point that obviously, you know, if you're developing a guy, I don't think there's anybody you'd rather have than Tom Clements.
Before we let you go, Jason, how much of the Miz's outing did you catch yesterday at AmFam Field? We will talk about it as the show rolls on, but it was pretty electric out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just saw highlights. I did not see a single second of it. I can't watch Paul Skeens because every time I watch him, I hear Tausch mispronouncing his name as Paul Skeenis, which rhymes with another word. And so I can't
keep
a straight face. But that is exactly the word I was hoping, Dolores, you would come up with there. Yes, well done.
All right, Jason, have a good one. We will talk to you again soon.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after our very program here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. All right, we still got to get to Skeens v. The Miz yesterday. Brewers walked out of there with a win to a sellout crowd at AmFam Field. We will talk about that. But I also want to dive into that list. Pro Football Focus lists the top 10 returning coaches in the NFL, and Matt LaFleur nowhere to be found. We'll discuss that as we roll on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Finding the right home is a journey. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes you got to be patient, but it should always be exciting. The We Sell Group at Keller Williams knows that. They're not just about closing deals. They're about building relationships and helping you find the right fit. Rob and Nick have been incredibly patient with us on our journey. Also informative and available throughout, it is so clear that their passion is working with the people. Whether you're ready to move right now or you're just starting to look, or maybe you're thinking about selling, the We Sell Group is on the journey with you every step of the way. Start your journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff earlier.
From one white stiff to another? I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hit it!
Keep getting us your reaction to Alex Stroke's first pitch last night at the Chinooks game. We have posted it on our YouTube stream. We have posted it on social media. It is available for you to watch, but proceed with caution.
Has anybody gotten a bigger win than the Chinooks?
Yeah, I was going to say, you think they watched the combine video and said, this guy could be good because he'll be a train wreck? And you think it worked out better for them?
Oh, advertisement.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But I thought he was campaigning for the first pitch. It wasn't like they came to him, right?
So he was campaigning, but they had somebody who listened and reached out in pursuit of it. So there's a little we know, you know, let's make it happen.
A little wink, wink thing here happening. All right, let's get to this list. Pro Football Focus putting out the list of the top 10 returning head coaches in the NFL. Josh, give me a little NFL music here as Chewy is going to try to guess the top 10. You're pretty good at this stuff, Chewy. I have a feeling you're going to not necessarily nail every spot, but I feel like you're going to get the top 10 for the returning head coaches in the NFL. Go ahead.
Son of a buck. Andy Reid,
number one on the list.
Two. I mean, I guess
you're putting
you
a lot of pressure on yourself.
No,
you don't have to nail the numbers.
Okay. They probably have Sirianni two just because two Super Bowls in 3 years.
He is on the list. He is not number two. I believe he's pretty far down on
is
the,
he
again,
really?
Relatively speaking, top 10. They've got him at eight on this
okay.
list.
Okay. Shanahan.
Shanahan is seven on the list.
Yeah. I mean, Tomlin is probably still on it, but it's what have you done for me lately? He's getting to the point in his career, like, all right, time to make some noise here.
Tomlin is five on the list.
Okay. O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell is not on the list.
That's terrible. Should be. Hold on. Probably have McVay.
McVay is on the list. He is number three on the list.
Probably John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh is number four on the list.
Can you reset it?
We got Andy Reid, Sean McVay, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, Kyle Shanahan, Nick Sirianni. You're missing another bro. Bro.
Yeah, his brother probably. Jim Harbaugh.
He's on the list at number six.
After year, though? Has that been 1 year?
They may be taking into account his time with the 49ers.
Yeah, maybe.
I would imagine so.
Dan Campbell.
Is on the list, as we discussed with Jason a few moments ago. He is number nine on the list. You have number two remaining, and you have number 10 remaining.
10 is probably Houston.
It is not Houston.
Two? Who the heck is... Hold on.
Two, I don't think, deserves to be there.
Buffalo.
No, nope. Not on the list. Tell me when you give up.
This is a what have you done for me lately guy.
Hold on. Probably, Cincinnati?
No.
Well, right, no. Kevin Stefanski for the Browns is number 10 on the list. I think you're going to kick yourself over number 2, though. Sean Payton. Broncos. Now, again, that is obviously because of what he has mostly done with the Saints, but he did have success last year with Bo Nix.
How do you put Stefanski on the list?
That's a great question.
How?
I have
2 years ago, it was one of the top, I think it was like top 3 rosters in the NFL, and he did nothing with it. What the
So here's what it says. I'll read you. Reading on the radio. Stefanski. Blah, 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 blah. Stefanski, there it is, broke the Browns' long playoff drought in 2020 and picked up the franchise's first playoff win since re-entering the league in 1999. He led a surge to the postseason in 2023 with Joe Flacco as his quarterback from week 14 onward. He has proven he can succeed if given adequate offensive tools. The team needs to provide him with that to complement his excellent defense.
So you're taking him over LaFleur and O'Connell?
Yes.
That's stupid. Who did this louse? Lestrouf?
Stroph. No. Pro Football Focus. And look, we have had issues at times with Pro Football Focus. You could also make the argument that these lists are simply put out there to, you know, irate fan bases. Yeah. By putting Stefanski on there, they guarantee people will go, huh? Record scratch here. But I think it's interesting when we were talking to Jason about the way that Matt LaFleur stacks up against some of the other coaches in the division. Because let's just go very simply head to head. Dan Campbell has a 5-2 record against Matt LaFleur head to head. Meanwhile, Kevin O'Connell has a 3-2 record against Matt LaFleur head to head. Now, I'm not saying that's the end all be all, but it doesn't bode well for a guy like Matt LaFleur. I think to your point, Chu, when you talk about Kevin Stefanski being in this 10th spot, I think Kevin O'Connell might have a case to be put there above Matt LaFleur at the 10 spot.
I certainly think he has a case to be there. I think he probably would need a little more for me to feel comfortable about it. But when you think about expectations versus production and the reality of what he's created there, it's hard to argue that he's not one of the next up on the list. I have a hard time. Stefanski to me doesn't make any sense. That feels like we're giving you the benefit of having such a poor roster recently that even you being fine with it is overcoming something. And I think Sean Payton, he's Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, that's a good comp.
It's just like, why does one guy, is it because Mike McCarthy's a bigger dude and says some funny things and Sean Payton's kind of an ass? Like, what's the reputation there?
I look at, okay, how far have you gone in the playoffs in your tenure at wherever you coached? And have you done more with what you have on the roster? So then I put LaFleur in there. Even though, he's went to 2 NFC championship games, playoffs every year, did an amazing job Jordan's first year starting, I don't like this list one bit. And then McDermott in Buffalo, I mean, they choke a lot, but they're always relevant. The regular season, they're very good. Kind of does a lot. Does more with not a lot. I mean, he's got Josh Allen, but, I mean, can you guys even name his receivers?
Well, but see, that's where I would fall. This, to me, feels a little like what we have said Matt LaFleur falls victim to, which is when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, and I'm not saying Josh Allen will be in the Hall of Fame, but it is trending that way. When you have a guy like that, then the question is, how do you split up the pie? How do you cut the pie? How much of his success is due to having Josh Allen under center and his ability to move the chains, make plays, throw the team on his back? That has always been a criticism for Matt LaFleur when Aaron Rodgers was under center. And now that Jordan Love is under center and he's not at the same level as Rodgers, that's when you start to wonder about Matt LaFleur's ability to hang with the rest of this list. You know, look, some of this is favoritism, right?
Yeah.
I think you're right about Harbaugh. I think that Jim Harbaugh could certainly have a very successful and long career in the NFL, similar to how it was when he was with the 49ers. But he hasn't yet. right? I mean,
no.
Enough to be considered a top 10. Some of that might be his college success, winning a national championship at Michigan. Some of it. Again, I don't know what the criteria was for putting this list together.
I mean, how long do you still get credit for a Super Bowl? I mean, because if you look at what, you look at Tomlin, it's been how long? 15 years? Been a long time. McVay. That's 15 years when they beat Indy.
It does feel like
it
carries the day a little, though, doesn't it, guys? It feels like the Super Bowl, either appearance or win, carries the day. Nobody's arguing with Andy Reid, right? We don't have anybody out here who's saying that there should be somebody above Andy Reid. Right.
Yeah.
So that's done.
Who was two?
Sean Payton.
Ah, that's a joke. Come on. What are we doing? Yeah.
I will say he is well regarded around the league.
He is.
He's like very well regarded from an offensive standpoint.
But to be number two, ability.
Who would you have two? Would you go Harbaugh? And I'm not saying Jim, I'm talking John.
I would probably go Harbaugh. Yeah. But it's been, there's another, what, 15 years? How long has it been since they beat his brother in New Orleans?
Is there a clear separation between the Harbaugh, McVay, Shanahan camp?
Well, so Shanahan is being carried by, because again, splitting the pie,
yeah.
They gave him all of those weapons for several years, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. They were building the Avengers out there in San Francisco. We all think that Shanahan is a good coach, but to your point about choking Chew.
Yeah.
There have been some choke jobs there.
Yeah, but
it doesn't feel like they're getting penalized for choke jobs.
I do feel like he elevates his roster even with the amount of talent they have there. He's also pretty instrumental in acquiring of players. They have a much closer marriage than we're familiar with here in Green Bay.
I mean, I'm putting DeMeco Ryans on the list somewhere as well. You know? I mean, they're up. They were a little injury snake bit last year.
To
but
me, that's not a long enough resume.
I agree.
It's a thin resume. It's a good resume, but it's thin. Again, it feels like there's an algorithm here that is taking into account tenure, that is taking into account Super Bowl, either appearances or wins. And Matt LaFleur doesn't have any of those, right?
He does have one of the best all-time winning percentages for a head coach.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Like, at some point,
I think
obviously,
third, I think I read on this list.
Yeah. Like, at some point, the Aaron Rodgers factor is a piece of some of that early success. But you also have to factor in the different purse player Aaron Rodgers became in that time. And then the ability to turn around midseason, a team that was sending off assets because they thought the playoffs were a far shot. And then you go in and just absolutely dominate the Cowboys.
But how much weight do you put on the regular season? Matt LaFleur's playoff resume is better than Dan Campbell's.
Yeah.
So how much do you put?
I think it's probably, like, I think playoffs, just the nature of one and done, things can go wrong, you can be affected by injuries that, like, I think the regular season tells us a lot. As much as it's not winning the Super Bowl or advancing, like, over the course of 17 games, you kind of figure out who's who and what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be the majority of sort of the pie, and the way you separate from the clump of other teams is, what do you do in the playoffs? How successful are you? Do you consistently take your team above expectations, or are you constantly a team that is one of the letdowns?
800-990-3776. That's how you can get to us on the Carbless talk and text line. Matt LaFleur not on Pro Football Focus's list of the top 10 returning NFL head coaches. Should he be? Where would you slot him? Take a look at the list. It is on Pro Football Focus. We have rattled it off here a few times. Not a lot of surprises. Stefanski might be the one that we're scratching our head at a little bit. Would you put Matt LaFleur as a top 10 coach in the NFL right now? We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on. Still a lot more to get to, including recapping the Miz's outing yesterday as the Brewers beat the Pirates, and your reaction to Alex Stroh's first pitch at the Chinooks game last night. That's next.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. App. It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you're buying or building a new home, Great Midwest Bank helps guide you every step of the way. Great Midwest Bank has taken care of us at every turn, and they will do the same for you. Your next big life decision, Great Midwest Bank should be there. They are local loan officers from start to finish. They can help you bank with confidence. Great Midwest Bank is your simply local equal housing lender. See all of their customizable products at greatmidwestbank.com. That's greatmidwestbank.com. Well, I guess we have an old update. We got an update? What do we got?
On the package.
Breaking news.
Yes. My neighbor Gregor says he will deliver the packages. Now, Gregor is my lifeline.
Nicer than you.
He's got more time than me. He has more time. Now, granted, he's
retired. How is that even possible?
He's retired. But
so he doesn't have to work 2 hours
Greg
a day?
Gregor is my lifeline for when I damage stuff. Gregor keeps it from getting to Angie. Okay? Because I break some things every now and then. So good story here. And I entertain Gregor, I think. So we were down by my boat one time. And I was talking to Greg, and I was ready to take off on the boat, and he's walking away. Well, you know how there's a rubber bumper around the boat?
Yeah.
I didn't know it looped underneath the motor.
Oh.
So I start to drive away, and all of a sudden you hear a... It ripped the rubber bumper off of the entire boat and wrapped itself around the prop.
Oh, my God.
So it stopped Greg in his tracks. He knew it was me. He didn't immediately turn around. He just kind of slowly looked back and said, I've never heard that sound before in my life. And he fixed it.
He did.
Before it got to the general.
Did he climb in the water and
from
the propeller?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, good
so
on him.
He's there to keep me from getting into the soup.
Uh-huh.
Are you his blammer?
Entertainment wise?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there was another time that I hit a big rock with my lawnmower. Now, I have my headsets on, so I have the music cranked, so I don't have to. The blade was hitting the metal part of the deck, making the loudest noise in the neighborhood. And I looked over, and he's just sitting there with his arms crossed. And I'm like, what? He said, take the heads. Wow, was that loud.
You couldn't feel it?
No.
Wow.
No. So he fixed that.
What an observation by our guy Joshy, though.
Yeah. I guess I am his blammer.
You okay with that?
Yeah, I got no problem. Yeah.
He's going to get you out of the soup with the packages. He's going to deliver the package. So he's going to swing over to your spot, pick them up, pop it into the old GPS, deliver each of these packages to their...
And he's perfect. He's got one of those 6x6s, you know? Doesn't even need to take the car. You know, with the dump back to it and...
Like a four-wheeler
Four-wheeler type of thing, and he'll buzz around ATV the lake and deliver the...
UTV is probably the right word, right?
Yeah. The people think he works for Amazon.
You know what's crazy, Joshy? Everything always works out for our guy.
It does.
Everything always sort of works out for our guy. Now, let me ask you a question, though. Do you owe Gregor now? Do you keep like a running tally?
I pay him in food, or I pay him
in entertainment, kind of like the blammer.
Yeah, he loves red wine.
Yeah,
so you'll swing by, grab him a bottle on the way home.
Yeah.
Well, what I've learned here is it takes a village to just support Chewy. It takes an absolute support system that's
going to
keep him afloat.
We got Gabe. Who's out today?
Right. Yeah.
Gabe is a part of that support system. You got Gregor. You got the blammer. Are we missing anybody?
Ange.
Do you think this is all part of my master plan?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not going to give you that much credit.
I think it to a degree, it's there's a term for it called weaponized incompetence.
Kind of like that.
You purposely use things like, well, I'm no good at this, so if I just screw it up, someone else will fix it.
Yeah.
So Gregor,
problem solved.
It's not a compliment, you buffoon.
Thanks, Gregor.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.